President Trump signed an executive order today aimed at lifting or reducing government regulations nationwide on energy companies, coal companies in particular.
With today's executive action, I am taking historic steps to lift the restrictions on American energy, to reverse government intrusion, and to cancel job-killing regulations.
Many of the regulations that are being rolled back came from the Obama administration and were put into place to take steps at slowing down climate change.
Alex Guillen joins us now to talk about the executive order and the impact it might have. He's an energy reporter for Politico, where he also covers the Environmental Protection Agency. Alex, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there's a lot in this executive order. How much of this is stuff that can take effect quickly? How much of this is stuff that's kind of guidance for changes that could be made down the road?
When you're talking about things that can happen quickly, like within a couple of weeks, only a couple of these items fall under that umbrella. The biggest one there is a moratorium that was imposed last year on new coal leases on federal land. Which was important because about 40% of all coal in the U.S. is mined on federal land, primarily out west in Wyoming and a few other states. That was imposed by what's called a secretarial order and can be lifted by another secretarial order that we're expecting Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to sign tomorrow. It's not clear that had a huge effect over the last year because a lot of coal companies have the leases in hand that they'll need for the future. But it's certainly something they did not want to see continue for the next few years. So that'll be good news for them. A lot of the other stuff, though, is going to be longer-term regulatory changes. It takes the president a few minutes to sign an order telling agencies to roll back these regulations, but they have to go through a notice and comment process that's very similar to what they had to go through to write these rules in the first place. That process can take years, and then you're talking about litigation from environmental groups after that, could eat up the entire 4 years of his first term.
And one big item in that category, the Clean Power Plan, passed by the Obama administration, or put into place, I should say, by the Obama administration. What, first of all, remind us what the Clean Power Plan would have done.
It set a goal across the United States of reducing carbon emissions from the power sector, from the existing power plants in the U.S. by 32% by 2030. We were already partway to that goal because of the baseline year used, but it set targets for each state for what they had to do. That rule was issued in 2015, or early last year, actually right before Justice Antonin Scalia died. It was one of his last acts. The Supreme Court issued a 5-4 stay of the rule in a very unusual, unprecedented action. And it's been playing through litigation ever since, and there's a court here in D.C. that could rule on it at any day. Now the Justice Department is going to go to the court and say, we've decided we want to rescind this rule and you should send it back to us without ruling on it.
So it hasn't actually really been in effect yet because of it's been tied up in court?
No, it never took effect.
And so now what is the Trump administration trying to do with the Clean Power Plan?
So their big thing is they're going to, like I said, the first step is to go to the Justice Department and have them go to the court. They represent EPA in this matter, of course, and say, we've reconsidered, we think this rule is unlawful. You should just send it back to us for reworking. The court might do that. The court might not do that. It's sort of up to them. They could just issue a ruling on the regulation. That could lead to a whole sticky mess of legal battles as environmentalists in states like California and New York seek to defend the rule, even though EPA won't be doing that anymore. Then they'll go through a process to repeal that rule in which they'll have to justify why it needs to be repealed. And likely, at the moment at least, they'll have to then come up with some sort of alternative. So it's very early days on what that possibility is, and there's a lot of politics and policy floating around on this issue, so it's very unclear what's going to happen there.
We're talking to Alex Guillen from Politico. He's an energy reporter there looking at executive order from President Trump today, reversing lots of Obama-era climate change-related and energy-related executive actions, secretarial actions, things like that. Coal seems to be a common theme for a lot of this, Alex. The Clean Power Plan, one of the ways that states could have met their obligations was to replace coal-burning power plants, not build new ones. You mentioned the coal leases. The president was standing with coal miners when he did this. He's been promising to bring back coal jobs. Looking at what he did today, are coal mining jobs going to come back as a result?
It's possible we'll see some increase in coal mining jobs. But most people, including a lot of people in the coal mining industry, say that, you know, the dominance that coal used to have 30, 40 years ago is gone and can't be retrieved. A big part of that is because over the last 10 years of the hydraulic fracturing technique that was that became very economical and helped drive the natural gas boom, made natural gas very cheap. And so we've seen a lot of switch over from coal to natural gas in recent years. And that's not the kind of thing that's going to change in the near term. So a lot of people at best are just hoping that the coal industry stays at about where it is right now. Jobs are always being lost to automation, though. But they're hoping that no longer jobs will be lost to regulation.
A lot of people are watching for today wondering, what about Paris and the Paris Climate Agreement that the United States signed on to? Did this executive order change anything when it comes to that agreement?
The order did not touch on the Paris Climate Agreement. The White House says it is still discussing internally what to do about that. It was part of the president's campaign trail promises to, at the very least, pull out of that deal and possibly to renegotiate it somehow, although renegotiating with almost 200 other countries who are who have been doing this for years and years and are pretty set on the agreement seems difficult at best. So the order doesn't touch on that because there's still a lot of talk going on behind the scenes. Some key people who are advocating for staying in the agreement to preserve the United States' international reputation, you might say, our Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, who, of course, was formerly the CEO of ExxonMobil, and Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter, who has been open about advocating on some of these climate issues. We'll see what kind of success she has with her father.
That said, a lot of our commitments under that Paris Agreement, a lot of what's being reduced today or turned around today was part of the effort to meet the obligations we made under that Paris Agreement. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The Clean Power Plan was a major part of getting to the cuts we promised.
And then I wanted to ask you about just the general tone toward the concept of climate change, things we haven't touched on. As I understand it, this executive order says, hey, government agencies, stop looking at the impact of climate change, stop weighing the impact of carbon when you're looking at different individual plans, reviewing applications for permits, that sort of thing. What is the attitude toward climate change in this new executive order?
So the order makes it clear that when agencies are taking actions in writing regulations or approving projects or anything else, that it should primarily be focused on promoting American energy independence, which is sort of a controversial term, but it means domestic energy production, essentially, and of course, the energy jobs that come with that. There's a lot of talk in there about not doing anything unnecessary under the law, the implication being that action on climate change is unnecessary. And the White House has been pretty clear about how it feels about climate change. The budget director, Mick Mulvaney, said recently that the government doesn't want, the Trump administration doesn't want to spend any more money on climate change because it's considered a waste of taxpayer dollars.
We're talking to Alex Guillen right now. He's an energy reporter at Politico. He also covers the Environmental Protection Agency. He's with us to talk about executive orders that President Trump signed today, removing a lot of regulations on energy, climate change, emissions, and more.
And you can join the conversation. What do you think of this move from the Trump administration? Do you think that these regulations should be cut, or are you worried about the impact of the effect against climate change? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our conversation about President Trump's newest executive order, which undoes many environmental protection mandates put in place during President Obama's administration. Alex Guiena is with us. He's an energy reporter for Politico, where he also covers the Environmental Protection Agency.
And you can join the conversation. What do you think about the rollbacks and regulations today? What concerns you more, the economy or the environment? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
President Trump wasn't alone in this announcement. He was joined by cabinet members, including the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Pruitt. Pruitt spoke today as well about the executive order. Here's what he had to say.
The president, by his signature today, is rejecting the narrative that this country cannot be both pro-energy and pro-environment. We have done that throughout our history. We can actually achieve good jobs, good growth, and pro-energy policies at the same time of protecting our environment. And the president is sending that message by his signature today on this executive order. But number two, he's also setting a pathway forward, a journey to say that we're no longer going to have regulatory assault on any given sector of our economy. That's going to end by the signing of this executive order. We're not going to allow regulations here at the EPA to pick winners and losers.
So a couple points there, Alex. First of all, could still be pro-environment. As I understand it, this is an effort in part to refocus the EPA on clean air and clean water and not so much the climate change anymore. Is that right?
That is what they talk about, yeah. I think it's probably just worth noting that the language that Scott Pruitt used there, at least the first part of it, where he talks about being pro-growth and pro-economy and pro-environment, that's roughly the same language that was used by Obama administration officials, because they always argued that these regulations would actually in the long term help the economy via public health benefits and, of course, by going after climate change. But yes, the Trump administration has talked about continuing to protect clean air and clean water. What remains to be seen is what that means exactly, because, of course, carbon dioxide is considered a pollutant. Interestingly, EPA took the heaviest cut of all agencies under the administration's early proposed budget. That's not something Congress is going to go along with to that extent. It was a 31% cut, including cuts to major grant programs that are liked across the board. But it's an indication that the administration is not a big fan of EPA.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Cedric with us in Oshkosh. Hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I feel that the environment needs to be protected. We're not going to protect it by taking away rules that have been worked on and intelligently put in place. You go to some of the foreign countries, for example, China, when the Olympics were there, they had to shut down all the manufacturing in town so that people could survive around there and breathe. And the more we go back into the fossil fuels and things like that, it's going to just dirty up the environment.
Cedric, thanks for the call. What reaction are we hearing from environmental groups, Alex, to this signing of this executive order today?
To say that they're not happy would be understating it significantly. They've all panned this action greatly. Obviously, it's been known since the election that this sort of thing was going to happen. But the big complaint is that this represents a major setback on climate action at a time when scientists are warning time is running out to take action, reduce emissions now, and stave off the worst effects of climate change down the road.
Cedric, thanks for that call. And he mentioned going back to fossil fuels, and Scott Pruitt in that clip we played of the EPA talked about picking winners and losers. I wanted to talk about the energy industry and alternative energy. The Obama administration tried to prioritize alternative energy to the extent that it could. Is that something that's going to change under this new executive order?
No, it doesn't directly address renewable energy. In fact, it says it promotes renewable energy as a source of energy and jobs when appropriate. But clearly the Trump administration thought that the Obama administration's rules were designed to promote renewable energy over coal and other fossil fuels. In certain senses, that's true and that's the effective outcome. But, of course, the Obama administration approached this with the lens of climate change. We've seen over the last 8 years, we've seen really impressive growth from the wind industry and from the solar industry. Whether that growth is sustainable We'll see. There are key tax credits that, at the moment at least, are in place through 2020. And of course, it's also worth noting that while we have seen really very good growth from both of those industries, they still each represent a fairly small portion of the U.S. electric grid. I think wind makes up 4 to 5% of the total U.S. grid, with a lot of that being concentrated more in the Midwest area and places like Texas. And solar, I believe, makes up less than 1% of our electricity.
And that's only electricity. That's not even counting, say, transportation.
Exactly.
Talking to Alex Guillen, energy reporter for Politico, looking at President Trump's signing of an executive order today reversing many Obama-era climate, energy, environment regulations. We'll go back to our callers now with Jason on the line in Sheboygan. Jason, hi.
Hi. It's a great afternoon. I love the show. I'm a safety professional, occupational safety and health, and what we are looking at is just an increase of the opium epidemic. I mean, hillbilly heroin, oxycodone, is known to be a problem in the coal industry because those jobs are hurting and killing people, and Trump wants to roll back the job-killing regulations and put back in place the people-killing jobs.
Jason, thanks for the call. I don't know if, Alex, you have stats on drug addiction related to coal mining, but there are concerns about the impact of coal production and use on health, the health of Americans. Is that something that is being factored in here?
Yeah, I mean, on the opioid epidemic, I'm not very familiar with that, but it is true that West Virginia coal mining communities are among some of the worst hit across the United States on that issue. As for, you were asking about coal jobs, right?
Coal jobs and the impact of coal on health is what he was getting at, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, when you're talking more broadly about public health, this is where it becomes sort of a difficult issue for some folks to really wrap their minds around, because of course, you know, when you're talking about public health benefits you gain from these regulations, it's also nebulous. You're talking about a coal-fired power plant being shut down here, and that leads to less instances of asthma and hospitalizations there. And obviously, scientists have made those connections, and they're very well established. But improving public health would be an important part of shutting down these coal jobs.
Let's go back to our callers. Randy is with us in Kewaskum. Randy, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Actually, the Obama administration really didn't go and work things out and make a real good balance. They really... He didn't care about business. It was, let's kiss up the environmental extremists as much as possible. We don't care about the law of diminishing returns, where we're getting to a point where we're pushing these settings so low that we aren't really getting any real benefit out of it. So what? We look good. And that's where he stood. And there was no balance there. It's like, how far to the extreme can we go?
Randy, thanks a lot for the call. Alex, do we have a sense of how much Obama-era regulations affected energy businesses negatively?
It's certainly true that coal jobs are down over the last 8 years. And that includes coal went from just under 50% of the U.S. electric mix down to more like a third, about 32%, I believe. Over the last 8 years, which is a pretty incredible shift. Regulations are not the only reason we saw that happening. Part of that was a slowdown in electricity demand because of the Great Recession. Part of that was because of increased automation at mines. Part of that was because coal is getting more expensive to reach. We've mined the easiest and cheapest to get coal. So this is always a problem when it comes to government regulations is There's always the potential for job loss, particularly, yes, in coal mining with these Obama regulations.
And Alex, as we start to wrap up, a lot of the big story in energy seems like the rise of natural gas, especially with natural gas fracking in the country. And that's a part, as I understand it, of what's putting coal out of business more and more. Is that something that's being taken into account in these debates and this action today?
It's sort of interesting because, you know, President Trump has talked about really boosting coal numbers, but he also wants more natural gas. And then in the United States, at least, those are in competition for electricity. And that's why coal has, that's a large part of why coal has suffered in the past few years. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the international market, whether we've already, for a few years now, since the fracking boom, we have been on a path toward starting to export natural gas. It takes a while to get those, the infrastructure required for that up and running. So a lot of permits have been approved in recent years, and we'll start seeing that happening soon. We're also starting to export more coal. So we have quite a lot of energy resources here in the U.S. already, and President Trump is talking about even further increasing those.
We'll leave it there for now. Alex, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Alex Guillen is an energy reporter for Politico. He also covers the Environmental Protection Agency. He joined us today to talk about President Trump's executive order rolling back a lot of climate change regulations.